Hi, I'm Gail from Europod. Before enjoying your podcast, allow me to say a few words about Europe Talks Back. In the third season of Europe Talks Back, I want to uncover the topics that matter, or should matter, to all of us. From gender to bodies and sex, digital to migration and urban landscapes, and everything in between. Rather than focusing on macro-level policies, let's zoom in and talk to the brave activists and volunteers with lived experience, who are working directly with marginalized communities to further equity, justice, and liberation for all.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Europod.
Hammurabi was the sixth king of the First Babylonian Empire, and he reigned from the year of 1792 to 1750 before Christ. In other words, quite some time ago. Yet, even Hammurabi, about 3,700 years ago, thought that issues concerning water deserved to be listed in his code of laws, the Hammurabi's Code. He did so in only 4 out of 282 paragraphs, and most of them concerned the flooding of a neighbor's crop and ways of being punished for it. Not the most common of today's water-related issues. Nonetheless, the ideas of regulating the use of water have been here for a while now. Despite that, water as a human right, for some reason, appears to be only a developing concept at this moment in time, thousands of years after it was first regulated in the ancient Babylon. But you know what they say, better late than never. I'm your host, Sonia Gatabishan, a human rights lawyer, and in today's episode, we have the immense privilege of exploring water as a human right with someone who has direct influence on shaping human rights as we know them, a judge of the European Court of Human Rights, Judge Marko Bošnjak. Moreover, Judge Bošnjak was recently the national judge deciding in a landmark case addressing the right to water at the European Court of Human Rights for the first time ever. But before we consult Judge Bošnjak on the matter, let's explore the background of water as a human right for a moment. Firstly, why is it important to establish and protect water as a human right? Well, access to clean water and sanitation for all is among the UN's 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. And as we speak, in 2021, 1 in 10 people, a total of nearly 800 million people, still do not have access to clean water in the proximity of their home. Moreover, 1 in 4, a total of 2 billion, lack a decent toilet. Although regulating water as a human right would not necessarily solve these issues, there is a chance that it would bring us a bit closer to those SDG 2030 aspirations.
The third plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order.
Water is a limited natural resource and a public good fundamental for life and health. The human right to water is indispensable for leading a life in human dignity. It is a prerequisite for the realization of other human rights.
These are the opening lines of the UN's General Comment No. 15 on the right to water, adopted in 2003 as one of the first documents acknowledging water as a human right on the international level. General comments such as this one are only declaratory instruments, guidelines. We lawyers call them soft law instruments. They're here for somewhat aesthetic purposes because, yes, they do exist and they are of value and importance. However, if countries choose not to abide by these quote-unquote laws, nobody can really hold them to account. Let me explain this with an example. If I lacked water in my home country, Croatia, and I complained to the courts by saying, "Croatia is failing to comply with General Comment No. 15. At best, I would be told that Croatia has no obligation because General Comment No. 15 is not a binding instrument, but rather a soft law instrument.
That is a lucid, intelligent, well thought out objection.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Overruled.
So you might wonder, which legal instruments do then matter? Well, the opposite of soft law, that is, hard law, actual binding legal instruments and laws. One such instrument is the European Convention on Human Rights, the convention that prescribes the rights that should be protected by the European Court of Human Rights. Remember my example from moments ago? Well, if I complained that my rights under the European Convention on Human Rights were violated in Croatia, they would have to listen, because Croatia signed the European Convention on Human Rights, which is a hard law instrument.
The defense is wrong!
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Unfortunately, the convention does not include water as one of the human rights. How is that even possible, and where does that leave us? Does that mean that the one big strong legal instrument which could actually protect the right to water in practice cannot in fact do that? Well, this is where it gets interesting. This might be a good moment to hear what Judge Bošnjak has to say.
The convention is a living instrument, meaning that it is interpreted in light of present-day circumstances and developments in social and cultural and legal understanding of the text, and also in the light of the pressing needs of today's situation. It is fair to say that the founding fathers of the convention did not envisage right to water to be a part of catalog of rights guaranteed by the convention. However, this is not decisive. The court is perfectly entitled to interpret the convention in order to fit this notion of living instrument.
So, not only is the European Convention on Human Rights a hard law instrument, but it is also a living instrument, adapting to the times. This concept is vital for cases concerning climate change and natural resources, such as water, and our topic of today, the right to water.
Bearing this in mind, one cannot ignore the fact that issues pertaining to global warming, to issues of environmental protection, etc., etc., can affect to a very important extent the way today's society and its members are living and how they can enjoy rights under the convention. The rights under the convention should not be theoretical and illusory, but rather practical and effective. And in this sense, of course, several rights and entitlements that would historically be considered as falling outside the scope of the convention will become fundamental for enjoyment of rights under the convention.
But just because the convention is a living instrument, it does not mean that it can evolve by itself.
In this sense, of course, the court vitally depends on cases coming before the court. The court does not examine any issue if it's not brought by an applicant or applicants. But we are increasingly receiving applications that are addressing these issues, and we are faced with the applicants seeking relief on those points. So the court will inevitably need to address these issues in resolving, in deliberating on our examination of those cases, and the court will take steps further. There's no doubt about it.
Mr. President, honorable judges, it is an honor to appear before you today.
One such case which pushed the convention and the court further was Hudorovic and others versus Slovenia.
Hudorovic and others versus Slovenia was a case involving two groups of applicants complaining about the lack of access to safe drinking water. Both groups of applicants are part of larger Roma community in Slovenia, living in two separate settlements. According to them, the state failed to meet its positive obligations both under Article 8 in connection with Article 14 of the Convention, guaranteeing right to protection of private and family life, home and correspondence in connection with prohibition of discrimination.
As I mentioned, the Convention does not explicitly include the right to water. Nonetheless, it includes a variety of other rights. To successfully present their case before the court, the applicants must complain about a right that is explicitly protected under the Convention, such as the ones in the Hudorić and others case, for example, the right to private and family life protected by Article 8 or prohibition of discrimination indicated in Article 14. To win their case, the applicants needed to prove that their lack of access to water violated one such right, explicitly protected under the Convention.
Not in the slightest.
Objection calls for conclusion.
Sustained.
Now, the first question that was salient in this particular case was whether the Convention at all guarantees the right of access to safe drinking water, either within the ambit of Article 8 of the Convention or any other Convention provision. The Chamber deciding in this case took the view that there is no self-standing right to access of drinking water under Article 8 of the Convention or any other Convention provision for that matter. However, that a long-standing lack of access to safe drinking water can affect human dignity to such an important extent that this, in one way or the other, triggers positive obligations of a contracting party under Article 8 of the Convention.
To reiterate, Article 8 of the Convention protects the right to private and family life. However, in light of the living instrument doctrine that we just learned about, over the years, the court has interpreted it quite broadly so as to include several aspects of human dignity and health. In this case, the court found that a persistent lack of access to water can affect human dignity and create obligations for countries in that respect. That is to say that, although there is no right to water under the Convention as such, lack of access to water could potentially lead to a violation of Article 8, right to private and family life.
In the end, the court considered that this question, namely whether Article 8 issues were triggered in the circumstances of that particular case, it linked those questions to the merits of the case and addressed the measures that the respondent state, Slovenia, took in order to meet the needs of the applicants, and on the basis of that examination came to a conclusion that there had been no violation of Article 8 in connection with Article 14 of the Convention.
In other words, the court found that Slovenia did not violate Article 8 protecting the right to private and family life, nor Article 14 prohibiting discrimination, and that it complied with its obligations. Although there was some disagreement between the parties as to whether that was really the case.
There were certain points of controversy between the applicants and the respondent government as to what steps and measures the government undertook in order to meet the needs of the applicants. But it was rather safe to say that the situation was as follows. In respect of one group of applicants, the state provided for a water tank or perhaps a number of water tanks, and also for rather regular deliveries of water, to drinking water, to those tanks. There were some controversies as to whether those tanks were suitable and whether the water was of proper quality. However, the applicants failed to produce any convincing proof, any convincing argument as to their assertion that water and the tanks were not at a satisfactory level.
Objection.
Overruled.
In case of the other group of applicants, Slovenia provided a collective water supply in the proximity of the applicant's home.
for the Roma community living in that settlement. The applicants, allegedly due to certain actions of their neighbor, were, according to them, unable to connect to that water supply, and they needed to provide for water from a village fountain. Now, there again, looking at the circumstances of the case, the court considered that those particular steps were sufficient for the Roma community living in that settlement. The applicants, allegedly due to certain actions of their neighbor, were, according to them, unable to connect to that water supply, and they needed to provide for water from a village fountain. Now, there again, looking at the circumstances of the case, the court considered that those particular steps were sufficient. The court also took into account the fact that both groups of applicants were receiving substantial financial state support, which allowed them also to meet their need of access to safe drinking water. What is particularly important to understand is that the court recognizes a wide margin of appreciation to states in such matters.
Margin of appreciation is a doctrine developed by the European Court of Human Rights, and it means that countries may have some level of discretion in how they will implement a certain right.
So the court cannot prescribe the exact actions that a state needs to take in each and every situation. Rather, it is the state to choose the measures and steps to be taken. In the end, it is important that it is convincingly shown before the court that those needs were met to a satisfactory level.
Perhaps the court did not find a violation in the case of Hudorovic and others versus Slovenia. However, for the first time ever, it acknowledged the possibility of some right to water existing in relation to the European Convention on Human Rights, and it demonstrated that, with convincing arguments, the right to water can be protected at the international level. But water as a human right can be protected in a similar way on the national level as well. Slovenia is one of the first European countries to have protected the right to water through its constitution.
I wish to underline that Article 70A of the Slovenian Constitution, providing for the right to water, goes a step further. It does not just guarantee general right to water, but also addresses certain issues by stating that water is public good, that it is the state that has to provide for water supply, that provision of water supply is not subject to any profit-oriented activity and the like. We know of countries, especially in the third world, that have taken steps in this direction, but those steps somehow came into conflict with economic interests of certain very important economic players, global economic players, and those issues are even legally difficult to overcome, as we could see also on the international level, not just the national level.
Having the unique opportunity to interview a judge of the European Court of Human Rights, someone who has a say in weaving contemporary human rights norms as we know them, I couldn't resist asking Judge Bošnjak about how he envisions the future of the right to water.
I think that the humankind will increasingly become sensitive regarding this particular point. The awareness that water is fundamental for us is increasing, and this will have reflection in the life of law on so many levels. I think that there will be actions calling for proper legislation be put in place. Furthermore, there will be legal actions before domestic courts and then further possibly or probably also before international courts like ours. Tools as developed by now in law will have to adapt to this new reality and needs in order to make rights that we have practical and effective and not just theoretical and illusory. And we can look forward to those legal developments because law is made for people. Yeah? Like water, we need law.
Be it on an international or national level, it's important to support the right to water. Having the big and fancy declaratory instruments, such as the UN's General Commons, gives the issue visibility. It gives us something to talk about. National legislation, constitutional protection, can be the first palpable safeguard. Unfortunately, there are those that want to take advantage of water scarcity by using and selling water as a private and commercial good. By doing so, they interfere with the right to water of others. By protecting water as a public and accessible good and human right, constitutions could serve as stop signs, preventing these and other barriers from occurring. Finally, cases such as Hudorovic and others versus Slovenia are historical. Well, it's true. The applicants did not win a case for themselves, but they won the case for others. They brought to life the living instrument in the European Convention on Human Rights and opened the doors for others to assert their right to water. This right may have been omitted by Hammurabi or the convention's founding fathers in the past, but thankfully, we have the new writers of rights, Hudorovic and others, and all of us.
In our next episode, we will learn what is the link between water and war. Should we be concerned over the weaponization of the precious resource? Join us next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you want to hear more podcasts that get to the bottom of things that stand out in the ambient noise? Join Europod. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and our newsletter. Follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Discover our brand new website at www.europod.eu and join us in our fight. Europod. Clear the noise. Start to listen.